I'm so excited to share with you a series of really cool generative conversations that I had with some really amazing people about designing their life on purpose. These conversations are full of little gems of wisdom that were recorded really before the chaos of the pandemic in 2020. But guess what? The content is evergreen, and I can't wait for you to rediscover these nuggets yourself. So join me on a trip down memory lane in the next few episodes of the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast, where you can benefit from these never before heard, too good to miss recordings that I've had stashed away in the vault. Trust me, they're packed with juicy insights, and I hope you enjoy them as much as we enjoyed recording them. And remember, it's never too late to start designing your life on purpose. Here we go. Oh, hi, Ashley.
Hello, Sherry.
You guys, I have a wonderful guest today, Ashley DePaulis, and I'm so, so glad that she has taken time to come and spend with me and with you to talk about her story and about how living on purpose and her pieces of wisdom about how to do that. Ashley, I just can't thank you enough. I'm already excited about what conversation.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, you haven't even had the conversation yet and already know it's going to kick ass. It's going to be great. So let me just give you guys the thumbnail on this woman right here. She is, her name of her business is called Embodied Success, and you'll understand more about that in just a minute. Look, get these words here. She is a body muse and movement alchemist. I read that, Ashley, and I went, oh man, I'm so jealous. Those are some kick-ass words. A body muse and movement alchemist. She teaches people how to activate their body's natural healing state for growth and expansion by feeling, processing, and understanding the energy being expressed through the body. If you really get your head around that, that's some big stuff there, right? She's had a shift from states of burnout and stress, you know, that thing you've read about that other people have, right? That stress into mental, physical, and energetic calm. Oh my goodness. She works with high achieving women in leadership, those who are approaching burnout or maybe have already crossed over the line into burnout. Is that right, Ashley? Even if you're there, okay, it's not too late. You can work with you. So we're going to know more. That's just sort of the thumbnail on what she does. Ashley, holy cow.
Holy cow,
right? So I'm just going to cut right to it. I know a tiny bit of your story. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen to be true with a lot of folks and a lot of healers, coaches, energy workers, we come to this work because of our own personal story. And I think that's true for you. Am I right?
Yes.
You want to share? Let's start there. Will you start there and tell us your story or parts of your story?
My story. Where it all began.
Where did it all begin, Ashley? Yeah. Fill us in.
Yeah, so it is true that I came to or expanded more fully into this work because of my own healing journey. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, came into this work because of my interest in health and fitness and wellness and well-being. So that's always been something that's been part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I always describe myself as a mover. I love moving. Sitting still is not your thing. Even though I do very much appreciate rest and relaxation. So that doesn't mean I'm one of those goers all the time, though I used to be.
Good distinction.
Yeah. So one of my favorite stories is when I was in third grade, there was this girl in my class and people were making fun of her for she was more developed than other people in the class. So physically developed, but then also was being made fun of for being a little heavier.
Yeah.
And kids are cruel. And I sat near her and I had this brilliant idea, which is going to not sound brilliant, but you know, I was a kid, depending on how you interpret this.
Right.
I was like, hey, I think I can help you. Mm-hmm. How about I come home with you after school one day and we play?
Gotcha. You should just put a little air bunnies when you listen to this. She said play with air bunnies. Yeah.
You know, since I'm a mover.
Right.
So play to me meant that I held a stopwatch and we went through movement drills. Wow. And she never invited me over again. So.
Oh, little Ashley. So, I can fix you.
I have the answers for you.
I have the answers for you. But, you know, don't we do that? We apply mm-hmm. the answers that have worked for us, you know. But my guess is, how has that changed for you now, Ashley? How is I bet you do it differently.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was in third grade. And the cool thing, the reason I share that story is because I think, you know, your message is designing your life on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think we make purpose mean something really big.
Yeah.
And it's usually what I found within myself and what I found within other people. It's connected to the thing that really lights you up, that you do naturally, you do easily.
Yes.
And so I share that story to say, even though the work that I do now is evolved, it's connected to that part of me that wants to help, that cares about how people feel, that wants them to feel good in their bodies. So
it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
In fact, and when I work with clients, sometimes we go back and try to go, let's go back to when you were a kid. What was the mm-hmm. thing that lit you mm-hmm. up? That's often the breadcrumbs to helping mm-hmm. you as an adult figure out what really matters now. So I love that story. I love that. Yeah. So you've had that passion for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then tell me where it intersected with some of your challenges. Cause talk about that.
So when I was 19 years old, I was in a really bad car accident. Mm. I was in the car with my boyfriend and my dog, and we were on the road for 15 minutes. We were on the interstate, and we were hit by a drunk driver.
Mm.
And that experience, I broke my back and all kinds of other bones in my body, and through that experience, it was a near-death experience. So there's that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But the piece, a big piece that I learned from that and some car accidents after was that, so with this initial accident where I broke my back and had surgery, and the physical piece of that recovery mm-hmm. was, although frustrating, because when you're at any age, but especially when you're young and you still like going out there and just doing life very easily, being injured is mm-hmm. annoying and frustrating. And having to rely on other people mm-hmm. and being slowed down. I remember being so frustrated by having to take naps, and that was kind of a barometer for me of when I don't have to take a nap through the day, then like that's a sign that I'm like
that you'll have been
moved
healed.
Upon yes. my path.
Right. It's not lost on me that you describe yourself as a mover, and then all of a sudden you find yourself unable to move in the way. I mean, what a profound opportunity to either dive in a deep hole of depression or and or come out of that. Did you do both? I mean,
interestingly, so that experience, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that I got depressed. I got very curious about just, you know, this girl who was intoxicated and caused this whole thing and how it impacted my life, and, you know, the lives of other people. Not only mine, my family, my boyfriend's family,
right.
all the things. And kind of that put me on the path of choosing, because I looked at physical therapy. You and I, we shared the similarity that we both went to UNC Charlotte, and
I
UNC
know.
Charlotte just happened to have a health and exercise science program in the Department of Kinesiology. So that was like an immediate, like I, after that experience, was very much on the path of purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I just got chill bumps about that because that's true for many of us. Sometimes what looks like a horrific thing that's happened, it doesn't always, when we play it out, sometimes we can go back. You never want to be told this in the moment, but you go, that was the moment that you got this other little nudge or niggling, or you found yourself in the next place, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds like you might not even had that on your radar screen had you not been in the accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were already into body stuff, but so then go keep going with your story. Where have you gone from then, from there?
Yeah. So there were all kinds of interesting facets along the way, but it was really, it got messy after. So I went to school. I ended up in Colorado. That's where I am now. Because I was following the integrative physiology, the health thing. And I had 14 years later, another accident where it was the same kind of thing. Somebody ran a stop sign. I will never be able to prove if they were intoxicated, but it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's when I learned that I had been living with PTSD for 14 years without knowing it. How that showed up at the time, I was in a job where the environment was very toxic. And I knew that in life and in my closer relationships, you know, it really came up through dating, where I would cycle kind of through the same emotions. That's not to say I wasn't ever happy and didn't enjoy life. I was very much enjoying my life as what I knew it to be and going upon my path, but I was very disconnected. And the way that I connected to my body was through movement and exercise, but that was kind of in health. And that was really my only tool. But emotionally and mentally, I didn't really have any tools. This accident happened and I had a family friend who said, you know, since you've been in an accident prior to, you probably want to look into EMDR therapy because trauma can awaken in your body. And so that's when really I dove into the mental, emotional, spiritual aspect. I had, so it's funny, but this is very true of pain. We can have something happen that causes pain in our body. So we can have an injury, it causes pain, the pain goes away, or it doesn't, for any number of reasons. But we can also not experience any type of injury. I was not injured in my second accident, but I experienced a lot of pain. So that, to resolve that, I went through all kinds of physical therapy. So you think, like, somebody who breaks their back, they have to go through all this stuff. Literally, I had surgery. I had to wear a brace for 3 to 4 months, but I didn't, there was nothing more to it than that. It was like, go off, move, whatever.
Once bones are healed, you're good. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. So then this time was much more intensive. No injury at all. So that's when I learned, and I had heard from being in the health and chronic stress and disease world, that, you know, pain can occur in the body without actually having any reason for it. And so then I started having the experience of that and learning more about trauma and PTSD and all of that.
So let me just sort of recap, because this is fascinating to me. You've So first of all, I have an acronym for pain, and that I've used a lot, and I don't know if it, but it's when we have any kind of pain, I please acknowledge I'm in need, P-A-I-N. And it's one of the ways I look at physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, that it's simply a lovely little warning sign that something needs our attention. That may be too simplistic, but that's what's come up for me as I'm listening to you.
No, so, it's perfect.
And also you're talking about PTSD, and I just want to say this out loud, that that is a term that is in our normal vernacular now in mm-hmm. culture, but I don't know that we always talk about it and mean the same thing. There's, mm-hmm. we kind of use it sort of simplistically, but PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is it's a real thing, and it gets triggered, right? You mm-hmm. tell me, I'm not the expert. It mm-hmm. gets triggered. And then, like you said, you didn't even know you had it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's what then shows up. Let me see if I've heard the story right. Now you're having these physical pains that didn't match the actual thing that you went through. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, mm-hmm. wow. Now you have to look at that, right? Because you're in pain. What'd you do? Tell me what you did. Tell us what you did.
So I did a lot of things. I did EMDR therapy.
Right. And that's I can't remember exactly what the EMDR.
It's kind of eye movement desensitization reprocessing. I might be getting the R part wrong, but along the lines of reprocessing.
Right.
So I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that works fairly quickly. But that, what that does is really diminishes the stress response that comes up in the body and the mind. When for me, it was like driving down the road and a car coming, since I was sideswiped, a car coming from a certain direction. Interestingly, and this kind of gets into like further off stuff, but all my accidents happened on the left side.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? I know what it pings in me, but I'm curious, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So when I recognized that, so one part of the healing, my healing journey, was recognizing energetic boundaries that are ruptured. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has a trauma and there was an impact, like an accident or an attack, why we can see things happen on the same side, like my accidents, or why somebody seems to be attacked from behind anytime they're attacked, like these repeated events, is because energetic boundaries have been ruptured. And so when I learned about that, so one piece of that were pain, it wasn't a, oh my gosh, this hurts so bad pain, but it was a, my left arm did not feel attached to my body at times.
Wow.
That didn't stop me from, you know, movement or anything like that. It was just this annoying, achy feeling that would come up. And so when I repaired that boundary, not only did car accidents stop happening, but also my arm, immediately, I've never had that issue again.
Wow. Wow. So what I'm loving about this is that folks who, and I have several people in my life who I would say, and I hope this word works for you, they run sensitive, meaning that their bodies and their story and their life really shines lights on the opportunities they have for growth. And I always see that as the observer of that as such a blessing. Now that doesn't mean it's fun. That doesn't mean, but I think for folks who are moving through their life and things start to get stuck or stagnant or not, it's not what they want. They may start to feel these kinds of, whether physical things, emotional clenchiness or unhappiness or emotional discomfort, is in fact some way an opportunity for you to go, hey, where am I leaking energy? Where am I not feeding myself? Where am I not in alignment? You're nodding your head. Does that land for you?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 So this story, so as you start to repair, I love that word, repair these leaks and this energy. And so how is this leading you into now serving others? I mean, if you've got more of your own story, I'm still want to continue to hear that, but I'm curious how that leads into now you're working around this issue of burnout and stress. Take us through that take us through that leap.
Mm-hmm. So where do I want to start with this? The reason that I lead people through burnout and stress is because I lived with that as my, so not only through PTSD, but in being a woman who we've been in a man's world, trying to work and produce and, you know, be uber successful in a man's world. And women's energy doesn't quite work like a man's. We don't have to work like them, though we have been, and that's what's burning us out. So it's like a twofold thing, because that's what I've seen also with my clients. Just this very like mental, physical, how they're approaching things, and that's just like totally killing their energy and their, and them being connected to themselves and them actually experiencing joy and pleasure and all the things. So that's one aspect of it, but I learned so much through my healing journey. So I already knew what I knew about the body from, you know, school and what I knew around health and fitness. But then through the healing process, just the energetic component and how easily, so when we're in a stress response, when we're experiencing a dysregulated nervous system, which is what PTSD is, we can shift that system through many modalities into the parasympathetic rest and digest. And that's where healing and growth happens. We, you know, for people who are going along in life and experiencing pain or are locked in a stress response or dysregulated nervous system, they do run up against the wall, the proverbial wall, of not being able to get to where they want to go because they're not, their system, their energy is not in the growth and expansion healing energy long enough for them to get to where they want to go.
That makes, yes, that makes complete sense. They're not there. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just flashed on this meme that I saw the other day, and it was sort of a joke about men, and that if men get stuck, what they do is just what they've been doing, but doing it harder, just doing it harder or louder. Well, if we as women are still following that model, all of a sudden we start to not get the results we want. We just keep doing what we've been doing, but just try to do more of it, which is the counter opposite of what you just spoke about, right? We just keep, well, if I'm banging my head on the door and I'm not getting through, let me just bang it harder, right? Instead of, So your clients and yourself, what advice do you have for folks who are, how do you turn that around? So quit doing that. What should we do instead?
Stop. Take your hands off the wheel.
Lay down the
the gas pedal, whatever it may be.
Pull over at the rest stop.
I think the biggest thing, and I know that you've probably seen this as well, like somebody has to be at the point where they're ready to accept or step into a new way of doing things. Cause I can't come along and they meet me and they're like, oh my gosh, you have the answer. They're not gonna have that thought unless they're like really ready. So what I would say first and foremost is just the awareness around how have I been doing things that hasn't been working? And why do I think that this is the one way?
Right.
It's usually based on like, I've been doing this thing for so long and like, I haven't lifted my head up. It's like your vision is so clouded because you've just had your head down going, and you could lift your head up and it just opens your eyes to a greater perspective like that.
Absolutely. You know, that is so common that I've actually created a little tool. I'll put a link to it in the notes, but about when we get stuck, what we've done is we've narrowed it down where we think there really is only this one choice. And you, just like what you did, as I watch your face, you lift your eyes up and you go, wait a minute, There might be 5 other ways to do this, 10 other ways. Simply the exercise of saying, how else could I do this? Frees up your energy, changes it. You might even go back to the thing you were originally doing, but you come at it with a new energy, a new tiny tweak. Mm-hmm. But it's that stuckness and that bullheadedness we get sometimes, right? We're bullheaded. We just keep thinking we're gonna force ourselves into relaxing or force ourselves into ease. Mm-hmm. I told a story on a podcast that I've recorded. I don't know if y'all have already played it or not, but my first husband came in one time after I'd gotten a VH tape to do stress relieving. And he said, that's a great idea. You know, as he rolls his eyes and he goes out to the garage and he comes back catching me fast forwarding to the end of the stress reduction tape. Yeah, seriously. That, you know, we just, you know, and I think that I kind of, that is what a lot of us want to do. What's the short mm-hmm. version or the, mm-hmm. you know, can I just keep doing what I'm doing, but feel better? And mm-hmm. you're saying, no, we've got to step back. That's what I heard mm-hmm. you say, step back. I also heard you say to ask ourselves some questions, be curious about it. Mm-hmm. Do you have more to say on that?
Yeah. And you pointed it out too, like when we ask questions, mm-hmm. when there is curiosity, then we allow in more of that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to, you know, I consider myself outside of any conditioning that I have received to be an achiever mm-hmm. or living in a man's world. I do consider myself to be very driven and ambitious. Mm-hmm. And I very much do. And I didn't realize this till the other. So I very much do. It's easy for me to lean into the masculine doing right. energy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize the other day that, so my sun sign is Leo and mm-hmm. Leo is masculine. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Right.
Anyways, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And part of slowing down, part of stepping back, being curious, that's more of a feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And that is sometimes what feels uncomfortable to people.
Yep.
And I think there's and I've even heard this from clients, a perception that you're not working hard enough to, when you're in that energy, to produce anything of importance, which like that gets into some toxicity.
Yes.
So it's like reframing our mindset around that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most definitely. And the way that we are treating ourselves, because you said bullheaded. So we become, or we have become very many times when we're like head down, we're bullying ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bullying. No bully policy.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is, yeah, if we really think about that, we're treating ourselves. We are trying to force, manipulate, coerce, from an ugly place, mm-hmm. us to do something. And typically bullies are trying to get us to do something that is against our best interest. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And so if we really get our head around that. So I also want to go back to something you said, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, but my understanding is that the left side of our body mm-hmm. is our feminine side. And yes. it is the side where we receive. And I found that was yes. really interesting as you were getting your attention about your left side, mm-hmm. you know, and our right side is where we give out. And mm-hmm. so the guy, for you guys listening, this is not about one masculine or feminist better or worse than. It's about the having the both and. And when we yes. run one too strong, it's out of whack. You know, and vice versa, you know, so you could sit at home all day long and do internal things. If you never put it out in the world, your business won't grow. Or if you, mm-hmm. or if you're constantly out there, but not taking care of your inside, it won't grow in the way you want it to do it either. So it's about being balanced. You have targeted your work around high achieving women because you know that they are probably running their masculine. Mm-hmm. at a high degree. Mm-hmm. So when you work with folks what do you find to be like the things that's constantly coming up that they can do to be more balanced, if you will, to be more in alignment with their true self? What are the things you typically have folks do?
I want to highlight this because I think it will partly answer this question you just asked.
Sure.
So we were just talking about the feminine and masculine sides, and it's both that we need to lean into. I've definitely been so far in one. I've done both really well to figure out what not to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it is, it's like walking a line. It's like coming back to that line. So interestingly, because I strongly will lean into the masculine very easily, how that showed up in my body and how I've seen it show up in other women's bodies, even if we didn't have the similar injuries. So some of this is around some injury patterns and some of it's not.
Okay.
Some of it's just energetic, which emotional, mental stuff. I have this right side body tension pattern.
Okay.
That's showing up in its worst is that my right hip is like totally locked up. I don't have a lot of movement or flexibility on that side. And my left side is like super flexible.
Gotcha.
But in walking, so an interesting thing that I observed after my second car accident was that's the one where I didn't have a quote unquote injury,
right?
But did all this physical support around and also mental, emotional. But I noticed that when I walked, I felt like one hip was leading more, and that was my right hip. So the masculine side, and my left side wasn't quite there and it didn't feel quite balanced. So that is a typical thing, no matter if somebody's leaning more into their feminine or more into their masculine. For women, it shows up in their hips. It shows up in low back. It can show up in sacral area. So the belly, the back, the hips, especially around moving forward and feeling supported.
Wow.
So that's a huge thing that always comes up. So it's a big thing that we work on is creating support within the body. And also deepening into trusting ourselves as being a guide. So when we talk about the, you know, there's only this one way that we've done things and it's the way that we always have, but then it's not working. We have to trust ourselves to go in a new direction.
Right.
And we have to anchor that within our body. We have to anchor that through supporting ourselves in new ways.
Right.
So those are kind of the common themes
That is so awesome. And if I could just tell you how screwed up my back is and my hips, I'm sitting here going, I got to work with Ashley, man. I mean, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to tell you, but it's interesting. I will tell you, I know so many women who do have back and hip and walking issues. And what you're saying is this could be some kind of guidance, a little peephole into, it tells a story perhaps. And that pain, is a place where you can actually start working and it increases your awareness of kind of maybe how you're living your life as to how your body is feeling. So I want to know how then you work with people. So again, folks listening to this, we're talking about living our life on purpose. We talk a lot about, you know, being brave enough to go, hey, the life I'm living right now ain't working for me. Hey, you know, I might be so happy, but hey, I think I want more, you know, I no longer want to live with that emotional pain or that mental pain or that physical pain. I want more. So if anyone's listening and they're going, you know, I want to talk to Ashley. I want to know how now you work with people. Walk us through that. Is it, you know, do you have to be in person? Can you do this online? And how do people work with you and your brilliance? Mm-hmm. Tell us.
So, yes. So I work, I mean, we've been in a pandemic, so yeah. I have not actually seen a body in person in a long time. But so I do everything online. It's it's coaching, it's guiding, it's teaching, it's all of those things.
Beautiful.
And it's always, I very much believe in being able, whether it's in a group. So I've worked in small groups, I work one-on-one, being able to provide customized guidance to people is very important to me, because I think trying to navigate some of this, you know, it's not easy. The healing piece, it doesn't have to take forever, but if you can't apply it to your own experience, then it's not going to be very helpful. Yeah. It's not a DIY or DIY thing.
And so I love that you said that, because I was asking you some things that typically come up, but I really love that you've spoken to the fact of, no, you know, this is a healing journey, and why we as humans have similarities. If you really want to expedite that healing, it requires from my personal, let me say this over again. I do think people can do a whole lot of their own healing, but when you have someone who can come in, who's been on the same path, but a couple of steps ahead, like a coach or someone else, that is going to exponentially move you further down. Plus someone who's going to be able to customize it and has that intuition and the expertise. And so what you bring to the table is understanding of the body, understanding of trauma firsthand and from books and learning. And you guys, this idea, you know, I was just looking at us on here on this Zoom or recording, we tend to as humans just stay in our head. And what Ashley is telling us here is no. The wisdom is what we're not seeing on the camera, right? It's the whole body. And so tell me what's on the other side for folks who really step into this embodied success. What's the carrot? What do they get to enjoy when you get on the other side? And as if there's not another side, but you know what I mean? When you're, tell us about what you get to enjoy.
what are the
outcomes, the benefits.
Yes, the benefits. But there I was trying to find like a more fun word. Like you got to the utopia.
What's the utopia?
I would say, so I want to answer this from a personal, what I've personally seen for myself is that just a deepened awareness of who I am, how I operate, and how that has been translated by my clients. A big thing that is spoken by them is that they not only feel more grounded, healthy, and energetic, they know how to, they don't emotionally react in the same way that they once did. And that allows them to feel more confident in their pursuits, but then also in their relationships. They're having like a lot more fun. Everything isn't like,
let that soak in, right? A lot more fun. The word that came to my mind, which is the word equanimity, which is fairly new word for me a couple of years ago. I don't know how I went through my whole life not knowing it, but that sense that there's fewer of those really highs and low lows, that we've got that peace that comes with, hey, that we got thrown a curveball, but I got the resources to handle it. Oh, and look at this deliciousness I get to enjoy, and I'm not going to sit in fear that this is going to come to an end, or when the other shoe's going to drop. That lovely place of trust and peace. And I love that you said then that leads to confidence. Confidence, who doesn't need more of that, right? Whether you're building a business or stepping out and dating or writing a book or doing whatever, you know, to have that confidence. And then I love that you said grounded. And again, that's one of those words, we say it a lot, but let's really think about what that means. Is that we're not at the whim of the world. We're truly planted. We have roots and we can handle stuff, right? That is an amazing, delicious payoff, right? That's so delicious.
Because you'd mentioned it earlier, when we're grounded, so when we're in our head, we're kind of all scattered and everything feels like it's coming at us and we are overwhelmed. But when we're grounded, we're actually in our body, where the mind, the body, and the heart can work in unison.
Yes.
And that's why we can respond in a whole new way, with new confidence.
I love it. So I have a couple of questions that I like to ask everybody, and we've probably covered them, but let me look at my little list here. So first of all, I've loved your story. And I love that out of what might've been a mess, you've come up with a message that's just so powerful, and you're living on purpose, Ashley. You are clearly living your purpose and very inspiring. So how do you know when you're in the flow? My guess is it has something to do with your body, but how do you know when you're in flow, and how might you know when you're out of flow?
And I think that's important, because we're going to go in and out of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, what tools do we have to help us get back in it?
Right.
Because I think a lot of times people have this notion that once I have something, it should just work like that forever. It goes back to that one thing that really worked. No, we have to move with the changes in life.
Right, like exactly.
That saying is, the only constant is change, or something like that.
Yeah, you got it.
So being able to move with that, that's where I know that I'm in flow, where I'm not so fixated on something having to be a certain way, or attached to it being a certain way, like really welcoming in new opportunities, ideas. I know for sure, because a big thing that I learned about myself on my healing journey, of how easy it is, and in part, healing is isolating. Mm-hmm. And I took it to a whole new level in ways. So
you overachiever.
I overachieved in isolation. And now the pandemic has taught us what, now everyone knows what that's like.
Yes, they are.
So anyways, there's that healthy and the unhealthy aspects of these things. So being able to recognize when you're leaning too far into one or too far in the other, and then when you're really holding that line.
Yeah.
I think is.
Yeah. Key. Being able to notice that. So what's a sign when you need to do a little realignment? Share with us one sign that comes up for you.
Like obsessive, annoying thoughts, like fabricating. I heard it recently and I really like this. It was like self-fabricated stress.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You might have to. I do not know what you mean.
That's when I notice it.
So when you're doing the mind chatter, when all of a sudden you're creating story, you're deciding what other people think or how things are going to turn out, you're just creating a narrative that's like just total fiction.
That sucks. It's totally not even good.
No,
it's
if we're going to create a fiction, let's do one that's at least, you know, to our favor, right?
Yes.
So, Ashley, tell me a part of some part of your routine that keeps you centered. Tell me something, share with us just a part of your routine that keeps you centered.
So it's my dog and going out and walking with him. But when I do that, I also do a grounding meditation or prayer, however you want to see that.
Oh, beautiful.
As I'm walking with him. So that is really something that taps me not only into my energy, but it's at the start of my day. So I set myself up for success versus jumping into something and then like trying to recover
Yeah.
Like, wait, yeah. Where am I in all of this?
Yeah, I love that. So what I'm envisioning, you're going outside, you're mm-hmm. doing this meditation, you're with your dog. And I love that meditation can be this walking, intentional thought, heart space. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be sit down, cross-legged, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. So if you had to put one of your favorite mantras or mottos or something like that, that really on a bumper sticker, mm-hmm. what would it be? What would be either your message to the world or the message you'd need to most remember every day, however you want to interpret that?
There's so many, but the one that's coming to mind right now, because I remember writing this to you, and it's a very important thing for me to keep coming back to, is that I don't have to sacrifice myself or something I want or something I desire for either success or someone else. I know for me that can show up in relationship at times. So yeah, I don't have to sacrifice. Mm. I'm not the sacrificial lamb. Not in this life.
And you know, you had sent that to me in an email, and I love that. And I thought, and again, I know men who do this as well, but I would imagine there's a lot of women who can identify with that, having even been the story, what they were told to do, and then somehow been romanticized, that you give so much of yourself and you're just saying, no, bullshit flag on the play. Nope. Don't have to. I love that. I love that. Ashley, is there something I haven't asked you that you want to share? Is there anything I've missed? Something that you want to share?
Not anything that's coming to mind.
Okay.
Other than, you know, I can promo myself, but I think that we've done a good job of that.
No, but that leads me into the next question. I will put this in the show notes, but for folks who are driving or listening, tell folks how to reach you, your website, those kind of things. Go for it. Promo.
Yeah. So I hang out on Instagram. I am not always promoting my work on Instagram. I did for a long time, but I'm mostly on LinkedIn for that because I'm expanding more into guiding and leading teams of women that already exist out there. I'm not having to create them on my own. That was a big learning experience for me. But yeah, I'm also on Facebook. I'm on all the platforms. It just may be I lean more into LinkedIn for work. You know, you can see a little bit more about my life on Instagram here and there. But I don't lock myself into sharing everything about myself.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned specifically because I've asked you a lot of questions about your work with individuals, but you do work with teams. You work, you know, corporations can bring you in, any kind of associations, groups that already who are already come together. You're a perfect fit for that. So I want you guys to understand that Ashley does her work in a variety of ways. And you can look in the show notes for her, those connections. So here's my last and final question.
Yes.
Is it milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
Ooh, dark.
Okay, good. We can stay friends. Oh, Ashley, I have just taken so many notes. I can't hardly even encapsulate all the wonderful things that you've given us today, reminding us, though, I think if I summarize it this way, and correct me if I've gotten it wrong, but that our bodies are the most beautiful, miraculous, wonderful teachers. They're the place where healing begins. It's the place that we need to give more and more attention to as the world keeps us in our head, that the more that we can go into our body, that's where the gold is. Is that fair to say?
It is. That's where your wisdom lies.
It is where wisdom lies. And even when the pains come up that, and those things, all that can be dealt with, right? When you step in and intentionally, I'll just make a plug here for the word on purpose, be willing to on purpose, look at, explore and heal those. Ashley, thank you so much. What you got to say? You had one more thing.
I was going to say just, and I know this isn't always the easiest for people, when the signs start coming up, listen when it's a whisper versus when it's
Yeah, when it's a little little pebble that hits you in the forehead instead of the 2x4, right?
Yes, the pebble in your shoe. Listen to that.
Absolutely. Gosh, I couldn't. That is a phenomenal way to listen. And if it's already a 2x4, love on yourself and call for help. But if it's if you're getting the little pebbles or the little nudges, listen to that. Ashley, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for listening to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast, and I sure hope that you're taking away something that you can begin to use today. Speaking of things you can use, I have lots of free things over at sherryhoneycutt.com, and the one I want to highlight in today's podcast is something I call Work Your Butt Off, and I spell it B-U-T. Let's get those butts worked off, and is a 30-day program to help you get your butts off the couch. It's 30 videos, it's a 75-page workbook, I think, and it's free to help you begin to take deliberate action toward getting that thing or those things done. So that's what I've got for you. I would love to invite you over to sherryhoneycutt.com. Click under cool stuff and you'll find that. You'll also find the link in the show notes and in the description of this podcast. Y'all, I'm here to help you take action, because action is how we begin to get new thoughts around our life. So go check it out. Get your free copy of this course that I've designed, and go and design your best life. Until next time.